Greetings, Liddell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about things of community interest, things that we think you might be interested in. We have an awesome guest today, Jacob Hickman of Picayune, Mississippi, who's going to address a topic with us that we really need some insight. So welcome, Jacob. Glad you're here.
Man, I'm glad to be here. Appreciate very much the opportunity to get to sit down and talk with you.
Well, great. Jacob, you come from a line of preachers, a line of ministers, maybe more than preaching ministers, people who just get involved in other people's lives through Resurrection Life Church in Picayune, Mississippi. Tell us about how you fit into that program.
Well, I consider myself very fortunate to be the third generation in a line of ministers, of people who have been investing in the community there in Picayune. My grandfather, James Hickman, started a church 28 or so years ago, which my dad is now the pastor of and has been the pastor there for about 17 maybe of those years. And now I graduated from Ole Miss. Sorry, LSU fans, don't hold it against me. I'm a Christian, though, so I went to Ole Miss. And I graduated there in 2013 and then came and started working with my dad. And it's been an awesome experience, and I appreciate and respect him more now than I ever have. I always loved him because he's a great father. He's just as a father, but now seeing, you know, his heart and his work has been another level of just respect and appreciation for what he does.
Kind of neat to work alongside your dad in a common vision, a common goal.
Oh yeah, it's a blessing and a curse, you know. Which I probably don't have to explain too much, but it's funny the opportunities you get to interpret dad for other staff members. Like when he says something, let me tell you what he really said. You know, they're starting to do it, and I said, let me help you. This is what he really meant. You know, they'll come and ask you, what do you think you meant this? So that's funny, but he's definitely not a controlling person or anything like that, which is the only way it's able to work. Otherwise, I think we might butt heads a little bit.
Well, he's given you an interesting opportunity for ministry, working with, I think they call it the Millennial Group. Tell us a little bit about that. I'm really kind of interested in knowing how to relate to this group of people.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is an interesting opportunity. It was just something, it was something that was birthed in his heart, because when he saw a statistic that said, I don't remember the exact, but something to the effect that 90% of high schoolers leave the church once they graduate and go to college. Some crazy statistic like that. And he said, I don't want that to be true for our county. That may be true everywhere else, but I don't want that to be true for our city. Make that happen. I was like, okay, sounds good. So it's been the last 4 years has been a crash course in that, and it has been an awesome journey of learning about not only the personality of this age group, but really the potential in this age group as well.
I think one of the interesting parts for me is that you're able to translate what I see into a language that, we'll say, the older generation can understand and learn to appreciate more where our young people are and where they're going.
Oh, I don't know if I could live up to that description, but to be able to put words to something that we're all seeing is certainly, I think, a necessity, because we are in such a changing culture, and things with rising technologies, things just seem to me, whether they are or they aren't, they seem to be moving so much faster than they have in the past. Things are moving and changing really quickly, and sometimes the culture of, you said millennials, their own culture and where they are can get lost in all that, and people run around confused, like, well, what's going on with our young people? What are they doing? Where are they?
are they thinking?
Well, who are the millennials? What's their age group and kind of what's their mindset? What do they see? What are some of their hot buttons that just blow their minds up?
The millennial age group is generally defined, most people define it as those born between 1980 and 1999. So your present day 18 to 37 year olds. So these are typically defined as your millennial group. And you think about this group, these are the group that are coming of age, per se, at the turn of the century or the turn of the millennium. This is a group that is has been very influenced by technology, has been very influenced by a lot of varying factors, and has caused a lot of change to the effect that it's made it really difficult for someone in my line of work in ministry. It's made it very difficult for a lot of ministers to connect. When I started this, the first thing I did, like any good millennial, I Googled, like, how to reach young adults, how to reach millennials, how to put together a thriving young adult ministry, you know, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to change the world, you know. So where did I start? Of course, where any good millennial would start, Google.
Google it,
and,
okay.
And even that is probably a testament to just how society has changed, but I know there's a lot of encouragement to be had that it's not as dark as it may seem.
Well, one of the interesting concepts that I've heard you speak on before is that you related so much of what's happening with the millennials today with Jesus, with where he was when he came, the people who followed him, their mindset, what they were looking for. When you explain that at another time, it was really an eye-opening experience. Can you share a little bit about that thought?
Oh, absolutely. When you look at one of the interesting statistics, you can go through, this is the most studied generation. That's a fun statistic. Most studied generation in history. One of the things that millennials score high on in terms of personality is they score very high on feelings of self-esteem, feelings of self-importance, feelings, and what that really points to, if you look at all the statistics, it points to an innate desire to want to be important, to want to be a part of something important, to want to be great. And when you really, if you read the Gospels, you see a group in the Bible that, you know, you realize these millennials aren't the only group that wanted to be great. You see in the Bible, there's another group that followed Jesus, that every couple chapters you found this certain group arguing among themselves about which one was the greatest.
This is good. Go ahead.
Yeah. And this certain group is, as you know, the disciples. The disciples of Jesus. And why were they always, it occurred to me, why are they always arguing amongst themselves about which one is the greatest? It's because they too, just like millennials today, they wanted to be great. They wanted to be great. That's why they took the time to argue about it and say, you know, are you better than us? They're mad at John because he thought he was better. Whatever. But and then it occurred to me the thought that when Jesus, we could say this generation's lost, they're selfish, they're self-absorbed, whatever you want to say. But when Jesus wanted to establish his kingdom here on earth, he came and chose 18 to 35 year olds. And he chose 18 to 35 year olds who clearly already wanted to be great. And then he showed them the real way to be great.
What an incredible thought. What an incredible thought that, you know, we think we're the first generation to ever been here. This has never been done before. What a wilderness we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we can go back to our precious Jesus and we can say, this is where Jesus started his ministry. What an opportunity for us to learn from the master.
Absolutely. And it sounds so cliche to look at Jesus, but when you really, you know, look at Jesus, like, yeah, you know, I've heard some church groups that say, you know, we young adults are just too hard. They cost too much money. They only come if you have food, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We're just going to wait till they get married and have kids and want to come back to the church. But really, when Jesus wanted to change the world, this is the group he chose. He chose this age group, this age bracket, and then he showed them the real way to be great. The real way to, any man wants to be great, you know, you serve. You learn to give your life away. Learn to lose your life and you'll find it. So it's very interesting.
Well, when one of the first messages that Jesus spoke was talking about the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of heaven is among you now. In Luke chapter 4, where he talks about, I've come to free the oppressed, to heal the sick, all of these things. All of that was so far and above the thinking of these individuals that Jesus really just opened their minds to something fresh, didn't he?
Absolutely. He opened their minds to something new. It was certainly a new way of looking things, and clearly Jesus got a lot of resistance from the establishment and those who were already steeped in religious tradition and had a lot of animosity towards this Jesus and this group of people that didn't seem to fit right in line with what their tradition said was right. And you see a culture today that is not nearly as concerned with what lines up perfectly with tradition as they are concerned with what's real. And those disciples followed Jesus on an invitation. Come, follow me. Followed him on an invitation because they said, this guy's real. Like, this is worth it.
And we're not looking at it as rebellion against what was there. What we're looking at it is opening my eyes to something new and something fresh. Even the way they dressed. I suspect that the religious leaders of that day could be easily distinguished from the disciples of Jesus just by looking at them.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt that the Pharisees and Sadducees, they all, and other religious leaders, certainly like to distinguish themselves and set themselves apart. I think that if you grab a bunch of 18 to 35-year-old fishermen and tax collectors and whatnot and get them together in a group and walk around all day, I'm sure they stuck out for a number of different reasons. You know, I'm only 26, so I'm still technically part of this millennial generation, but you can, much in the similar way that you can pick out millennials today.
One of the other things I've heard you mention in the past, too, is that great moves of God have been preceded by special time in our society. Can you address that a little bit for us?
Absolutely. And that's, I'm trying to say these things, not in contradiction, but in context of all the negativity that has been said about our generation, and that is in context of all the negative things that have been spoken about millennials. They don't care, they're lazy, the next generation, it's all going to hell in a handbasket. The flip side of that is what I already mentioned about, man, this is the exact kind of group Jesus chose. But the other side of that is, if you look back in history, every great awakening and every great move of God, like that changed culture, that started colleges and hospitals started because of this move of God. You know, from the Jesus movement to the Welsh revival, Azusa Street, all of them, they were all pushed to the forefront by, guess who? 18 to 35-year-olds.
Awesome.
This same group these are the ones that every single time, and go back to Bible times, when Jesus wanted to turn the world upside down, he used this group. Yeah. So it excites me about working with this group, about the possibilities and the potential, and also the timeline. You look back, and it's about every 50 or 60 years, almost like clockwork, you have this just great awakening that impacts culture. And if you look at the clock, man, we're about due for another. So I'm excited, man. I'm counting the days. Let's go. So
an approach to ministry, or just an approach to life and being a part of and dealing with this millennial group, to try to teach them to be like us is probably the worst mistake we can make.
It's not certainly not the worst mistake you can make, because if you're making an effort, I say that's good. You're doing more than some. But what I will say is that I think this generation, millennials, have just about had it with being talked at. They don't want to be talked at anymore. They don't want to attend something and listen anymore. They don't want to come to something. They want to be a part of something. So rather than teaching them by getting them to come to a meeting every week, teach them with your life. Teach them by, hey, come with me to do this. Hey, come with me to see this. Come, and you can even do that on by creating something where they don't just want to come to something. They want to do something, you know. And as I've said, they want to do something that they feel like is important. That's why this generation volunteers more than any other generation in the past. They volunteer for stuff. Why? Because they want to be a part of something. The old style of ministry, I think, of just host a meeting. Just put a meeting together and get them to come, and it's good. That's not going to work for this particular generation. I think they've had their fill, part not just from the church, but also through the world. From the world, they've been talked at and indoctrinated by everybody. Technology has made us so pumped full of information from every angle and every side. They've just about had enough, and I think advertising has also had a lot to do with that. You're gonna just tell them to teach them to be like me. Man, they've been advertised to so much, saying, hey, come to this. Hey, come to this. It's going to be awesome. Buy this. It's going to be great. Billions of dollars spent trying to figure out how to sell these people something. It's made it a lot like white noise. There's a lot of white noise to this generation. That's why they pass over advertisements. That's also why, I'll mention this, that's also why they can spot a fraud. Millennials, they've been advertised to so much. That's why if you really want to impact them, you've got to lead with authenticity. You've got to be real. You've got to be authentic. They've been advertised to so much. This is great. This is great. This is awesome. They can spot a fraud from a mile off. They can spot somebody with ulterior motives from a mile off. There really is a necessity for you to lead with, to lead and come with authenticity, not that you're that you know you're not perfect, because they know you're not perfect too, and just be vulnerable.
You know, as I listen to you talk, the admonition is to go and make disciples of all nations. Of course, my generation wants to make sure that we can impart to another generation that which Christ has given us. I mean, 35 years ago, 36 years ago, when I came to Christ, there was such a unity and such a togetherness and such a strong, we just kind of ran together. And it looks like now we've kind of come to a different place. You know, our heart is, I want to give you what I had. It was such an awesome thing. We went to every meeting we could go to, and you know, we were led by some incredible people. I guess this was the end of the Jesus movement type time. And it was a unity, a togetherness, a strength, a cohesiveness. But now that it seems like it's not there. How is that an obtainable goal? Am I off base by saying I want you to experience what I experience? Or is there a way that you can experience, we can help them to find this, not only unity with Christ, but unity with each other in Christ? Is that a...
Well, it's definitely going to be leadership from people who have been there before that are going to get us to that place. And of course, I think it's obtainable. But I think a lot of that has detracted from the church, and there's been a lot more division in the church than there has been unity. And currently, there's a lot of skepticism of any sort of authority figure. There's a lot of skepticism of authority figures. There's a lot of skepticism, even sometimes, of government figures in this generation. I think sometimes in our current times, our lack of unity is part of what makes us, makes the church look weak, be weaker to the world than it really should be. A number of issues underlying this, it certainly can't be all explained here, but one thing I will say is that we do need to address is we do need to address the idea that young people look at the church and they see their perception of it, and a lot of times that's not good. They don't see, it's a problem that young people look at the church and they don't see, I can get involved there. I think in order for us to really bring unity and power and really have those shared experiences, it's not just going to be through meetings. I see it being through that young people, when they start seeing the church as a place where they can make a difference in their world, that will change a lot. And I think that's the need, the attitude that we have to have, is that the local church is the place where we can make a difference in our world.
Back to the first century, a vision bigger than ourselves. You can change the world, go out into the world, way beyond the 153 fish that you're going to catch in this boat. There's a whole lot more out there that needs to be done. There was a thought in my early years as a Christian that you kind of earned your place in the kingdom of God. You served, and then sooner or later you were recognized by your giftings, and with those giftings you would be selected, if you will, to go forward. But it seems like that's a different thought for today. Our thought is not so much that as it is helping these millennials to have the vision, for them to see that which is already within themselves. And instead of saying, prove to me that you can do it, rather it's, I think you can do this. Let me walk with you. Is that kind of a difference from 35 years ago till today in how we approach ministry?
I think you're absolutely hitting on something, in that rather than just asking them to do something, hey, get in there and serve, inspiring them to do something, and inspiring them around a vision that where they see they can use talents or abilities that they have, getting them to see that they can use those talents or abilities to solve a problem, to solve some sort of problem or issue, or because if you inspire them to do something, they'll go way further. They'll go the extra mile to make it happen. But if they're not motivated, man, this generation, they're not going to do it just for doing its sake anymore.
But motivation is not like tricking them into doing something. Motivation is more of a key to opening a door to let what's there flourish. So if we say we're going to motivate you to do this, I'm going to encourage you to do this until you get so pumped up, I got to do it. Not the case. It's open the door and let the giftings that God's already placed there.
That's right.
Wow.
That's absolutely right. And it's you seeing something in them. Like that's the hard part, is that we got to look past all the outside, the outer facades, and try to ask God, you know, God, what do you see in this person? What is their gifting, their calling, their destiny? And you be the one to call that out of them. Whether then, man, you've got a heart to do this. Oh, well, let me show you how you can start that right now. Oh, you've got a, man, you really have a gift to speak. You know, come speak at this Bible study we're doing for junior hires or for high schoolers. Then, so like seeing something in them and then calling it out of them and giving them opportunities to try.
It sounds so much like the relationship between St. Paul and Timothy, where he said, the gifts that were imparted to you by the laying on of hands, that which was there, make it grow.
Yeah.
Make it go. Do something with that, and I'm here with you.
Yeah, that absolutely. And I think that was always one thing I admire about Paul, is that was always his tactic. It was always calling something out of people, speaking identity into them. You know, even the Corinthian church that we all know was messing up real, real bad. You know, one of the first things he said to them was, you know, such were some of you. You know, like, that's not who you are anymore. like, you were called, you were sanctified. I was like, does he not know what these people were doing? But like, it just occurred to me that, man, he's calling it out of them. He's calling it,
yes,
calling it forth. And that's really what we've got to do and help to instill a sense of identity. Because they're, like I said, this group, they're looking for what's real. They're looking for what's real. And they know it's not in traditions of men. I feel like we need to lead with vulnerability, but also confidence that, man, I have found what's real. I have absolutely found what's real. I know who created you. I know who put destiny inside of you. And we're going to walk this thing out, and we're going to help you to succeed. I think that's where our heart has to lie, in that confidence that, not that we're perfect, but we know the one who is. And so,
amen.
So that's my attitude towards it. And then just call it out of them. You know, they've had enough of fake. They've had enough of fluff. They want to know what's real. And that's why speaking identity into them that's based on the truth. You know, they don't have a biblical worldview per se in the way that a lot of older people think of biblical worldview. You know, there's some older people who think biblical worldview means you vote Republican, you know, or you vote Republican and anti-abortion. You know, that's, I would say that is not what a biblical worldview should be. To me, it means, and I think it's an important distinction for our discussion, a biblical worldview is about reference points. It's about a point of reference. It's that my point of reference is God's word and his truth. And seeing what did Jesus say about this? Like, what did he really mean when he said all this? What did he say about money? What did he say about my life? What did he say about my time, my marriage, my, you know, all the, Jesus had something to say about just about everything, whether it was in a direct or in an indirect way. So letting that be your point of reference, because what's happening today, I think, is that everyone has become so anti-establishment, anti-tradition, you know, we've had enough of that skepticism of a lot, that we've become self-reference. Well, I feel, oh, well, based on my experience, well, this is my truth. You know, you self-reference for everything, and it creates a real muddy culture. And I think that's also the reason, you know, this is, I guess, something separate, but I think that's also the reason that debates today get so heated. Because if you attack what I'm saying, you're not just attacking the argument, you're attacking me. You know, because my belief and my truth is, you know, it's a self-reference type thing, a self-reference truth. You know, so you can't, that's what makes it so hard to debate or talk, because if you're attacking that, you're attacking me, and it becomes very, very defensive very quickly.
Jacob, great interview. Thank you for spending time with us. Let me ask you this. Before we leave, could I ask you to pray for our generation, not the millennials, but to pray that we might have the eyes to see and the ears to hear what God is really doing? You've inspired me to believe that God's doing something with this generation.
Come on.
And with that thought in mind, I don't want to miss it. So I need God's help. Would you pray for our generation to be able to receive from Christ through you and your ministry what's going on now? Would you help us with that?
I'd be honored to. I'd be glad to.
Thank you.
Well, Lord, we thank you that you have an answer for every situation. God, that you're never caught off guard, that you're never wringing your hands trying to figure out what to do. And thank you that here in this moment, here and now, in a lot of the political and societal unrest that our world is in, that you've got an answer, that you are still the truth, you are still the way, and you are still the life, even here, even now. So Lord, I pray for this older generation, God, the Generation X, the baby boomers, God, that I pray for them, Lord, because we need them. God, I pray that you raise up leaders from them that will come and lead and direct this millennial and younger generation, that will inspire them, that inspire them and call destiny out of them. Lord, I pray that you will bring unity to the church, God, that our eyes will be completely fixed on you. God, and that as our eyes are turned towards you, we're inspired, we're encouraged, and we have ideas and thoughts about our current situation. Lord, I pray that you'll raise up those leaders even now as they're listening, that they'll feel a tug at their heart to find someone younger and invest in their life and show how they can make a difference in their world through your church, God.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, wow. What a great time together. Thank you so much, Jacob. You've blessed me, you've inspired me, and I think I've learned a few things from you. So thank you for coming to Slidell and talking with us.
Oh, it was a pleasure to be here with you.
I hope we can do this again sometime.
Come on, man. I look forward to it.
All right, let's do it. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio today. We want to hear from you. You can call us at 985-250-1037. We'd be glad to hear from you. You can send us a text. You can make a comment. And if Jacob said something today that piqued your interest, be in touch. Let us know. Encourage us to continue what I think God's may be starting right here today. So give us a call. We encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio Slidell. Good information there, and keep up with the station. We'd also encourage you to go to our website, www.graceradioslidell.net, where you can make tax-deductible donations to the station. We need the support of people just like you so that we can continue to bring quality programming to you. Again, that number to call us is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again on Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.